middle of the afternoon, and we're ready to go. Leslie is on board here, then the opening, and I'll talk to Jim Ramsey, who's in for Tom Skilling. I assume we're on. I'm just going to start talking, and then we'll find out later, usually.
It makes that 7 o'clock rebroadcast so interesting.
When I hear the top of the hour sound, I know that we're on, but we're not at the top of the hour yet, so I'll just start, and then that'll come in. So prepare yourself, Leslie.
Thousands of people showed up this morning to cheer the Little Leaguers of Jackie Robinson West. Their day began with a rally at Jackie Robinson Park on the south side, followed by a parade up Halsted Street and another rally at Millennium Park. Governor Quinn and Mayor Emanuel were among the dignitaries on hand for the celebration. Police closed the intersection of 77th and Kedzie this morning to investigate a bomb threat. A man stopped for a traffic violation told police he had an explosive device in the car. That prompted police to shut down the area as a precaution. No bomb was found. And a crew member from the TV show Cops was shot and killed while covering a robbery for the show. It appears the man was accidentally shot by police as they responded to a robbery at a Wendy's restaurant in Omaha, Nebraska. The robber was carrying a replica airsoft gun. He was also shot and killed.
A cop in pursuit of this guy was shot and killed?
No, it was a guy from the TV show Cops was with a police officer who responded to a robbery at a Wendy's restaurant.
And he was shot? The guy from the TV show?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
was he shot by?
The cop. It turns out the robber only had a replica airsoft gun, which is like a BB gun. So it appears that this guy got hit by a ricocheted bullet.
Okay, well, you're hanging out with cops going on those calls.
It gets really real.
I'm surprised that they let these camera crews go along. And maybe they're thinking, the worst that could happen is we have video evidence of what we're doing, and we're going to say we're right in our procedure.
And in a weird way, it's kind of, when you think of how long that show's been on TV, something like this hasn't happened sooner. Because they're right there in the thick of it every time. I always think of that when you see them, like, running down a dark gangway.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you go after the guy with the big, bright camera on his shoulder?
Well, if you have only your underwear on, you're really not sure where you're running at that point.
They always only have their underwear.
There's always
on.
A screen door that's ripped or not on properly. That's the first thing you see.
And then their underwear.
I'm sorry. I like the drunk people. Outbound Eden's good. Inbound side jammed at the junction. Kennedy, about 32 between downtown and the airport. Ike westbound's 27 to Mannheim. Stevenson already 45 minutes to 355. Inbounds at about 36. Outbound Ryan's 20 to 95th. Northbound looking good, and it's pretty quiet on the tollways. I'm Leslie Keiling, WGN.FM.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Name does not sound familiar.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Morocco and Mundelein. Breaking news. A correctional officer at Cook County Jail,
stuck with every kind of alcohol known to man,
has been accused of bringing alcohol to maximum security inmates in exchange for money.
Well, stop kidding. We didn't make us some drinks. We just pressed the button back there and marked booze.
Have you seen Shawshank Redemption? You can get anything you want in the slammer.
You sure got a pretty mouth.
Now, please consider my idea once again. Have a treadmill put in each cell, and the only way you can get electricity is by generating it on your treadmill. If you produce extra electricity, you can buy something off the drink cart.
Always coming up with these great lines. I love them. I love them.
You're welcome. Developing story. Speaking of prisoners, Rod Blagojevich sent his wife a love letter for their anniversary. The Sun-Times today has two front pages. The first one has a picture of the JRW players. The second one is a picture of Blago and his wife, Patty, with the headline, Love Rod.
I'm fine. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Even with a comma between love and Rod, Love Rod jumps out at you. JRW parents, please remove that second front page. You don't want a love rod around your kids.
I'm the worst person on earth, and the world is coming to an end.
I think y'all having a good time out there.
I'm Gary Meyer. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes on the Super G Streamliner, WGN.FM, Chicago. Hold me, I'm trending.
Oiling the Bobcat with Jim Ramsey this week. Tom is in meetings to launch the extra hour of that 5 o'clock news that will start at 4, starting on September 8th. Welcome, Mr. Ramsey.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I just walked into Tom out in the hallway a few minutes ago.
Right. He's not anywhere exotic, not on vacation. He's working.
No, not so far.
Yeah. I got a text here, but I'm assuming it's for David Hochberg.
Yeah.
David, well, it says David, what about men with a vasectomy and erectile issues? That's the kind of nonsense that guy's peddling? Because I won't have it. No, not on this dot. Not here.
No. Oh.
So that's what's left over from his show. He had some doctors on that specialize in that area.
Oh.
So if you need anything tweaked, bleached, retooled,
Bob.
And I mean that in the literal sense.
Stiffened.
He will get that guy for you, and you'll probably get a sweet discount.
Well, that's good to know, but no urgent matter so far.
Here's a text, and it came in at 11:24 this morning,
yeah.
I guess to get ahead of the crowd. You know, I really enjoy listening to your show. I hardly ever listen to AM anymore, but you worry me. It seems like you're always pushing the envelope, and I feel like one of these days you're going to push yourself right out of a show, and that would be horrible. Like with the incense. I know that even if you get the smokeless kind, that chick...
Oh.
Who blew the whistle on me, I think. She denied it today. I confronted her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. She said, no, it was the security people in the lobby. They were smelling it. I said, okay. And I was holding a bag of candy bars to give to Duffy. Hey, can I have a Butterfinger? And I gave her one, because that's the kind of person I am. Anyway, she's not going to like the smokeless spray either, or the smokeless incense, and there's a spray that smells like incense that I want to get. And she's going to tell on you again, so be careful. And lastly, I agree with Joe. Oh. Joe went into a tirade about some of the people on the AM. I won't get back into that. That would probably monkey wrench me a little bit. But I appreciate your concern. But if you can't be on the Internet and do something that's a little wiggy, a little out there, then why bother, right? Right, Jimmy?
Who wrote that? Your boss?
No, it's a listener. 312-521-8600.
Huh.
That's where that came in.
Oh.
So, again...
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of getting older, and I think you'll agree with me, I know you do because you've dialed it way down, and I'm going into that Jim Ramsey philosophy.
Yeah,
As you get older, when are you going to start enjoying this? Because time's a-wasting.
Yeah.
I don't worry about the stuff I worried about 20, 30 years ago. It's not worth it.
Well, there are some things that are worth worrying about, but not
will they fire me if I burn some incense?
Yeah. You figure you're going down the drain anyway.
Oh, that's right. So just enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Plus, you've always been a radio rascal.
I'm telling you that you're destined to lose all the battles you spend your whole life fighting. So, you know, just, okay, surrender up front.
That's right. Just let it happen.
Yeah, your hair falls out, your teeth fall out, your skin wrinkles up.
Yeah, boy, when
see
you do
you
see these people
to?
That are, say, in their, well, it depends, but... Mostly in their, and I don't mean depends in the way.
Yeah, I was
you think
thinking
I
that too, yeah.
In their 80s, and they're limping around, they're on a walker, or you just think, that's what we're all heading to?
That's it.
That's it.
That's the end of the road.
Yeah, so what have you done? Are you enjoying every day?
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Me? Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Who, me? Yeah, me.
Yeah, we're having
Who,
a good time.
Who, me? Yeah, me.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Beetle Ramsey, Beetle Jim. You're enjoying it, I'm enjoying it, so we're...
Yeah, we're having a good time.
We're trending at number 26 on TuneIn.
Okay,
we can
let's get
that
the
up.
Bell ready. We got to get it up there.
Let's get it up. We can get it up.
No, that was the last show.
They got it up. Yeah. We can get it up.
He didn't get a bell, did he?
He doesn't have a bell yet. Mr. Hochberg needs to slow down. He was on with Bob and Marianne.
Oh, yeah. He was today?
Yeah, and he runs up here and he starts doing this. And the guy is just spinning too many plays. David, keep it exclusive. That's what you want to do. You want to drive them to the Internet. They don't want to... have you here and there, and then become the Krispy Kreme donut of your day, where it was great until they started putting them into gas stations, and then it lost its luster. Its fizz was gone.
Yeah, it's all gone.
You want to keep it kind of exclusive. Remember Coors, where you couldn't get it east of the Mississippi?
Correct.
And if you went out west, I remember I was going to California back in the 70s. Oh, pick me up some Coors, because it was so mystical. So I'd load up the car on the way back, and now, do you hear about Coors as much? You can get it anywhere.
Yeah, it's popularity.
But when it was not available everywhere, yeah. Keeps it kind of special.
Yeah, well, I spent 5 years in Colorado, and it was right about that time when you couldn't get it anywhere. But you got it everywhere out there.
Yeah, but again, it was like getting crack or cocaine. Oh, Coors.
Yeah.
You can't get it everywhere.
And if you had a beer can collection, you wanted a Coors.
A Coors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Keep it special. Well, I've convinced myself you've got to keep it special. What am I going to do? Keep it exclusive. Make
Bubba
it kind
Bibble,
of cult-like.
Does Bubba Bibble collect beer cans, too?
No, back in the 70s.
After he drinks them.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Back in the 70s, that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Beer can collection.
Are you old enough to remember that?
Certainly. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was in, like, I didn't drink beer, but everybody had a beer can collection.
Oh.
Carl, you're on at 312-521-8600. Welcome.
Hi, Carl.
Hey, I got a couple things. One, did Jim Ramsey get that tooth fixed?
Weren't you getting a tooth fixed?
Yeah,
at some point. It's all fixed.
Yeah, the last time I was on the air with you, I actually had a temporary as one of my front teeth, and I lost a crown of veneer or something in a peach, so I had to go get a temporary, and so after that was over, I went back and got a crown.
Carl, were you the guy that said you saw him on Channel 9 and you could tell there was something wrong with his toofer?
Yeah, it was like the brownest brown I've ever seen before.
Yeah, it's all fixed.
There.
It's all fixed now.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad he's got a lovely smile now.
Yes, he does.
Second, here's the thing, dude. I'm on management's side with this odor battle you're having because I'm very sensitive to stuff. And if you were lighting incense and I had to smell it, I would be furious with you. But this is what you should do. Bring your bread maker in, make bread for the office, then you get that nice odor. It's a win-win.
Did you text me that the other day? Because somebody did text me. It might have been you.
But I doubt it. No, I just thought of that.
I wonder, does that fall under any lease agreement where you can't have appliances plugged in that aren't already part of the building? I don't know. Because that's got a heating element in it, and maybe they'd go ape crap on that too. But who would argue about the aroma of bread? But who knows?
Give Dilbert a little bread with butter. He's not going to say anything.
Sure.
He sounds a little heavy.
Now, this incense, I have to say, it did smell pretty good. I know what you're saying, that some smells. Now, Stephanie's preggers, so you know how pregnant women are. Some things set them off.
We had an Indian family evicted from our condo place because the curry was stinking up everything.
Is that incense?
Have you smelled curry before? It's god awful.
I know, but that's not incense.
Yeah, odors are odors, man. It's nose pollution.
No, yeah, and a bread machine odor is beautiful. And not odor, it's an aroma. Odor is something else.
That is an aroma. But no, incense is hit or miss, man. I wouldn't do that. That's gross. I don't even like some candles. Some candles drive me nuts.
Well, yeah, some can get pretty powerful. But I thought this was generally, do you like a woodsy, wood-burning smell?
I like the way the sky smells after a rainstorm. That's about it.
Okay, I'm gonna find that spray can with that scent.
That's just ozone you're smelling.
You tell me when it's fall and people are burning their fireplaces. You walk out, that smell in the air.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
No,
the incense.
You're right.
Yeah,
they can't duplicate that inside.
Well, this was close. This pinon, I got it in New Mexico. It was very close to that smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And
well,
the vanilla?
Try the bread.
All right. Thank you, Carl.
The vanilla
you could just fill up your office with pine cones.
I do that during the holidays.
Oh, do you?
Well, now Johnny B has a coffee maker that's plugged in.
Okay, so I can bring the bread machine in. But
yeah.
I'll lug that thing over here and make bread.
Is it that big?
Well.
It's big enough.
Big enough.
Noisy.
So lug it
it's
over
noisy,
here.
Noisy, though, isn't it?
No.
No, there's no noise. Just when it's kneading for the first cycle. In the first half hour, but outside of that, no.
I bet
quiet.
You they wouldn't say anything with the bread smell.
Do you just like incense?
So.
Or is this something to cover up another odor?
The reason I even started burning incense, when they moved my office, as I was going through stuff, I saw this box of incense that somebody gave me, I think for Father's Day or whatever, and I never burned it. So I thought, oh, okay, let me try this. And I started burning these sticks.
Yeah.
And then Dave Novotny, the master sculptor, said, I'm going to send you over some vanilla. And I burned those, and I was done with those, and I was getting into my pinon.
Yeah.
And somebody's old pinon came up that they didn't like it.
Now they got into your pinon.
Yeah, by they, I mean Stephanie claims the security people were complaining, and then the building according to Dilbert, sent out a memo that you can't burn candles or incense per their lease agreement. So, all right, so I packed it all up. I'm done with that. But okay. I still have my Christmas tree spray from Tree Time. I'm spraying that. I like that smell all year.
You can get new car smell in cans, too.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's a nice smell.
Yeah, you can do that.
What other smells you like? Aromas, I should say.
Aromas?
Smell, to me, is bad. Aroma. When you walk in, is a hardware store something you like smelling? That's something. Leather?
You like leather smell? Has a nice smell, yeah.
Somebody said to me that whenever they walked into a bookstore or a card shop that they had to make hard lemonade because of the smell of the paper or something, every time. As soon as they walked in, they had to find a bathroom. Bookstore? You're not digging a bookstore smell?
I don't really. I'm trying to visualize what this is.
I'm
still working on hardware store. What do you mean bookstore?
Hardware store has its own unique aroma.
Like wood. It's got a wood.
It's got.
It does?
Yeah, like a cedarish.
I'm spending too much time in the fertilizer section.
Okay, well, those are the ones that jump out at me. Leather.
Yeah.
When you walk into a shoe store.
Right.
That kind of smell. Of course, a bakery.
Yeah.
Not on.
Well, you could always, you know, put some rubbing alcohol around, make it smell like a hospital.
Okay. If that's what you float your boat with?
Well, that's not an unpleasant smell. I mean, it's...
be my guest, brother.
It's, associated with pain, but other than that, it's a nice smell.
Imagine if that Little League team had won, what we would have done.
I think we ran out of things to do.
And the reason I'm mentioning this, I heard today that the WNBA, the professional women's basketball team, are... team, the Chicago team, is in the finals.
Yeah.
Right?
Really?
Now, if they go all the way or go to second place, will they give them the same treatment? Not that these kids shouldn't be acknowledged. I get that. Yeah. I'm not arguing that. In fact, I'm starting a campaign, Jimmy, to have Midway Airport changed to JRW.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for crushing all my dreams.
Can you imagine if the Cubs won?
Okay. That's the other equation.
We don't have to worry about that.
The WNBA out there because you know they're not going to get squat, and they're in the finals.
You know,
if the Cubs win, that's the worry the city has.
They think
the whole city's going to be burned down.
Look, each one of these sports teams that goes on to do what JRW did, win a national championship, I'm all for giving them parades and speeches and throwing up fireworks and everything. I think that that's great because it happens so infrequently here. Sure, they're in the finals. What are the odds that they win? If they win, great. Are they going to win every year? No. So, give them a parade.
No, I have no problem with it. But now that the WNBA team is in the finals, and if they go all the way, you think they're going to get this kind of attention?
I don't think so. Well, maybe.
They should now for the way we roll out this.
Well,
but if the Cubs win...
You've got to draw a line somewhere. I mean... I wouldn't necessarily give it for a national chess champion from Chicago if there was one. The Tiddlywinks final, probably shouldn't get a parade.
No, but it's the WNBA.
Well, that's a big deal.
Professional.
I'd say, sure, they should. But part of the problem that I have is I didn't know this. I'm learning this from you. I didn't know that they were
in the final. I didn't know it either, and I heard that this morning, and I thought, if they go all the way or end up in second place, they should get something, too.
Now, admittedly, in the course of a year, I might see a WNBA game once, maybe twice, if I happen to catch it on television. I don't follow them that closely. But
I don't think a lot of people do.
Well, maybe that's probably the big deal. The thing with JRW is that this was broadcast locally, and the whole town was watching it. I mean, this was
it is good for those kids. It is good for Chicago.
Yeah.
I understand that. Trying to get Midway renamed for them. I'm doing my due diligence.
Oh, well.
Did you see Rick Tellender's column the other day after the TARP debacle at Wrigley?
No, I missed
it. Oh, he ripped Wrigley and the Ricketts a new one.
Uh-oh.
Just all over the place on this.
What was wrong?
Well, there has been some chatter that the reason that they didn't get the TARP out right is because they let some of the grounds crew go home early, and there was some implication that they don't want to pay them their health insurance, and they would if they have to. And if they work over 130 hours, I believe, they have to pay them their health insurance. And they didn't want that, so they let them go early that day, and that's why they had that TARP debacle. It's something like that, where is this the way you're running this team, like everything else that's going on there? And he just plowed in saying the place is a dump.
Oh,
and hey, I'm sorry, but outside of the ivy and the scoreboard, which gives you a warm fuzzy,
yeah,
the nuts and bolts of the park are 100 years old and dumpy. Look outside.
Yeah.
When you're outside the park, look at that chain link fence. It looks like a prison yard.
The concrete is still falling inside.
Yeah.
And there's nets to catch the concrete.
You're peeing in a trough.
Yeah.
It's a very tight corridor you have to walk through. There are no real good creature comforts. And use this opportunity to skedaddle, build a beautiful new park. That'll buy you another 5 years, even if you're losing.
I don't know. There's something about the old park.
How many times do you go to a Cubs game every year?
About every 4 years.
Every 4 years.
No, every 8 years.
Yeah, you're the same guy when they tore down Woolworths on Michigan Avenue. Oh, they're tearing down Woolworths. How many times did you go? Well, I went and bought some bobby pins about 6 years ago.
No more Fannie Mae.
No.
They had those metal cups with the paper insert, and I got my Green River.
Well,
that's not going to do it.
You know, a Cubs game's a broadcast. And personally, if I want to see baseball, then I like to do it that way. I mean, that's...
Which way?
Watch you on television.
Yeah, okay. Well, you don't really care about the park. They should use this opportunity
because they've
run up against all these obstacles. Just go, okay, we're going to go somewhere where we can have parking, which they're not going to get parking no matter how this swings for them.
Yeah.
In the way they need it, and just start all over. Again, you'll buy yourself time with the team because if they don't become a 500 team next year, I think there's going to be a revolt by the fans. This is kind of a bonus year. I think they gave them this year, although some fans said they thought there would be some percolating going on this season.
Well, there's a new excitement now because they're bringing up a lot of these prospects now are coming up.
Okay, that's my point. Yeah. Next year, 500 at least.
Oh, no, they have that's to not going to happen.
It's not.
No.
You don't think it's going to happen?
Oh, I don't even know Cubs fans that actually really deep down think they're going to have a great season in a year.
Oh, no.
Okay, I thought this was a bonus year. They got to do something next year.
They get some superior talent that leaves the Cubs from time to time and goes and becomes superstars at other teams.
Read the Tribune today, my friend.
Oh, it's in there already?
Yep.
You know, I don't know what's going on there. You know, I'm starting to believe in that cursed stuff, you know, that...
I think there's something to that. I firmly believe that the juju is weird. They should tip the park on its side, see if there's anything underneath. There might be a tripod. If you saw War of the Worlds, it might be down in there ready to come out.
Yeah, I wonder what was there during the Great Chicago Fire. Maybe there was something under there.
Well, they did take all the debris, and what we're sitting on is landfill from the Chicago Fire.
Really?
They pushed it all. East of Michigan Avenue was pretty much all Lake Michigan, and they took all that debris from the fire and dumped it, and that's the landfill we're sitting on if we're east of Michigan Avenue. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. I'm making this stuff up.
You know, I'm more than 30 years around Chicago. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's what they did. Where do you think they put all that? I mean, it was all kinds of junk. Where are you going to put it?
That's a good question.
Got a whole city that burned down. You got to put it somewhere, so it became landfill. And that's why...
There are a lot of things about the city that I think even are a mystery to some of the residents.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not...
Look at the tunnel system. You know, the speakeasy tunnels down on Broadway and...
Right. Who knew we had those tunnels in the buildings before that flood 20-some years ago?
Well,
when
actually,
that guy
I did, because I had
hit
gone
that
down
pipe on the Chicago River. Remember, it flooded all these buildings?
Yeah.
Because they had all these tunnels that were used for delivering coal or something?
Yeah.
And
I'll never forget this.
The security guy went down into the basement of the merchandise mart. And he saw fish jumping in the
dump. Yeah, that's good.
Feet don't fail me now.
Yeah.
And he ran through the water, got up. We're flooding. There's fish downstairs.
Well, you got the deep tunnel project 200 feet down. You got those tunnels are down about 40 feet. And then you got the speakeasy tunnels right below street level.
Yeah.
At some neighborhoods.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on we don't know about.
There's tunnels under this building.
Are there?
Yeah, this building has at least four stories that go into the ground.
There's a live shot. Live broadcast possibility. Your tunnels.
Go and do tunnels.
Yeah, do Tribune, the Tribune basement.
All right, I'll pitch that to somebody. Yeah. I got a thing. It's me at the bottom of the Tribune. I mean, at the bottom.
Well,
tunnels.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a great broadcast location?
More people watch Little League than WNBA, so no parade for The Lurches? Is that the name of the team?
No.
The Chicago Lurches?
and also
the Lurches.
He rang.
Hey, Gary, WNBA in the semifinals,
yeah,
not the finals.
That's
I said that. I'm saying if they do make it all the way or end up in second place like this Little League team, are they going to get a parade?
You know, the thing is that these JRW guys got a better thing than the Sox did.
Yeah,
the
more,
Sox won the World Series.
It's more organized.
This was more impressive.
They just threw something together on Wacker Drive, and it was awful.
Yeah, this was much more impressive than the Sox World Series.
Babe Ruth in 1936 said that Wrigley Field was a dump. In 1936?
Really?
And it was relatively new.
Now,
it was only 20-some years old.
Did you make that up, or is that
something? No, it's true.
It is true?
Yeah, he is quoted.
Yeah.
He did really say it was a dump.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. No kidding. Maybe it's supposed to be a dump.
Okay. That's
maybe
the attraction.
They designed it that way.
Yeah. We're putting up a modern-day dump.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
That's a different spin on it. Yeah, sure.
Jimmy, let's take a look at this script because you got to do weather and then Leslie's got to do her thing.
Okay.
Your script. Did you read it over?
I did.
All right. Let's do it.
It's a tough one to read here.
Yeah. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Script 1, August 27, 2014. Jim Ramsey, Lovin' Chicago, 3, 2, 1.
Imagine you get off the bus at the Greyhound station in downtown Chicago. It's your first time out of Podunk, USA, and you are anxious to see what a big city is like. You head out of the bus station to grab a cab at your hotel.
To your hotel. Let's take it from there. Head out of the bus station.
Sure, you get your...
Take two.
You head out of the bus station to grab a cab to your hotel. As soon as you walk out, someone approaches you and asks if you want to ride a pink mustache. You heard things like this could happen in a city like Chicago, but you can't believe it happened so fast. But you are soon informed that the pink mustache is a car service. You decline and hop into a cab, like you've seen on TV shows and in the movies. After you drop your bags at the hotel, you head out to explore the city. Look at all the tall buildings. Shut the front door, look at those gas prices. They're $1 more a gallon than Podunk. Holy crap, a pack of cigarettes is $12. You can buy a room full of furniture in Podunk for $12. Several blocks from the hotel, someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, I ran out of gas and I don't have any cash. Can you help a guy out?" Where you come from, people are always helping each other. Once a neighbor's pigs got loose during a lightning storm, and you ran out and helped him gather up his little porkers. It's in your DNA. Would a 20 be enough to help you out, my good man? Yeah, 20 would do it, Chief. Thanks. You're great. God bless you. After several hours, you head back to your hotel room and find out your room has been infested by bed bugs. Welcome to the city Carl Sandburg called a sewer of crime, a swamp of sin.
Very nice.
It is?
Yeah.
Mustache.
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 Pink mustache.
Mustache. She went up on the stage.
Oh, yeah. He's very flowery.
Yeah.
Mustache.
I think we got it there.
Yeah, I had a lot of coffee this morning.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
That's what I like. My Jimmy all caffeined up.
Yeah,
did
I'm telling
Carl
you.
Did he say Carl Sandburg or Cal?
I said Carl.
He said Carl.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said
you
Carl Sandburg.
Cal.
What do you take me for?
Cal Sandburg was the shortstop for the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I want some weather, my man.
You
ready?
I got that over here. Yes, I am.
Here's Jim with the weather.
Gary, tonight we'll have just a few clouds around, more than partly cloudy, but probably not as much as mostly cloudy, low of 64. Then on Thursday, mostly cloudy with some late showers, thunderstorms possible, high near 80. Friday, periods of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 84. More storms Saturday, more storms Sunday, highs both days 78. And Monday, some more storms and a high of 85. Gary?
They're going to be scattered, though, not all day.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Now that we finished that part, I'll give you the temperatures. Currently, mostly cloudy. It's 78 at O'Hare, 80 at Midway, 74 at the lakefront, northeast at 9, and the water temperature is 77. I stopped there so you could, run it at 6.
Sure.
You can add the temperatures, at that point.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy.
Gary, this has been a hoot.
All right. That's what I want from
you. Tell Baba Bibble and Leslie.
They're here. They hear you. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Tell me what you're trending first. Can you do that?
I'm 4. That's up from the 20s. Number 4, buddy.
Okay.
We can do better.
Yeah, you got to work on Bolivia. See you later.
Okay, thank you. That's for 4. There's a bell or something I think we're going to arrange for number 1. It might be time to retire the Ramsey Love Chicago bit.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Is that according to you?
Well, no, it's according to this text.
Oh, okay.
Signed, a bed bug.
I'll tell you why.
Or an Uber driver.
I'll tell you why I'm not going to discontinue it, because when I do have him, I want to have these, and then they're cataloged, and I can roll them out any time. I won't have them for a while, and then I can keep playing them. But if I only do two or three, and then I replay them, you're going to get tired of those. What did you pay to get in?
Plus, he's not on every day. He's only in for two.
Right, and I don't play these every day.
Yeah.
And somebody, it might be the mayor.
Get off my text.
Right. You dope. Big dope.
Oh, dear.
He's probably Mayor Emanuel. Come on, he's making fun of the city. Stop it.
Among the other architectural masterpieces of the city are the Shedd Aquarium, the Chicago Museum of Natural History, formerly known as the Field Museum, and Soldier Field Stadium, built in the classic tradition of ancient Greek and Roman architecture.
Gary Meyer on the 50 million-watt Streamliner. In a couple minutes, I'm going to play another newsreel-type piece from 1961 that I think you'll find interesting. Well, Matt, the trivia guy, not wasting any time today. He wants in the first hour.
Well, Gary, once again, I have to bring up the fact that you probably already know this. Your producer, Keith, did. The problem with the Cubs is they're messing with the man upstairs. That's the whole curse, because they've never won at Wrigley, because Wrigley is built where a seminary stood.
Right, not a cemetery, a seminary.
A seminary, yeah. They tore down a seminary to build Wrigley Field. And, I mean, the last time they won was 1908. That was not at Wrigley Field. That was at the Westside Park or someplace. I don't know.
Well,
but
it's a valid argument in that they have done everything else that they could possibly do, as far as they've had great players. They have
absolutely
spent money. They have done those things. That didn't work. So the last thing remaining is the park. It might have all the bad juju.
Look at, I mean, they had one of the greatest managers. You know, you can say what you will about him, but Leo DeRocher.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And players, they've had Hall of Fame players. Not
yeah,
that
mean,
they stayed,
Banks,
but
for God's sake, you know, I mean, two-time back-to-back MVP in the 1950s. You know, I mean, Mr. Cub. They've done everything they could except for the park.
Time to do that. And they're at a crossroads. They got to pull the trigger now, because they're going to screw around with all these lawsuits and things, and they're going to lose another couple years. They won't get the signs up. And then at the end of all that, they still won't have appropriate parking. You would think they'd like to make that revenue. You know how much money you can make on parking alone?
What happened to the parking deck they were going to build across the street?
I don't think that's going to happen. And even if it does, it's not going to accommodate the amount of people that go there.
That's true. Unless they tore down half of Wrigleyville.
Yeah. So use this as a way to say, you know what, there's too much resistance. Maybe it's time we just leave. And then you people can stare off your rooftops into an apartment building. How do you like that? Goodbye. It's not a threat. It's a fact. See ya.
Just go to Rosemont.
Or whatever town seems to work for them.
Bedford Park, home of a huge water supply.
Bedford Park, whatever.
There
and
you
I
go.
Know some people have said, well, if they go to that location in Rosemont with the air traffic, it's going to be very noisy. Well, now you put on the roof and you keep it open for a while, but I know the planes go all day, all night for the most part. Okay, maybe it's not Rosemont. Maybe.
Hey, look, they had the same problem, and they dealt with it at Shea Stadium.
They tore down Yankee Stadium.
And right, Shea Stadium,
was right by LaGuardia.
Right.
The plane traffic went from JFK, went right over, or was it from LaGuardia? Went
LaGuardia,
right
over, yeah.
Yeah, from LaGuardia, went right over Shea Stadium, so it was out there all the time. They dealt with it.
Is the new park not near where the old park was?
It's right around the same area.
So the airplane noise is the same, right? It's not a dome stadium.
It's still going on, deal with it.
Yeah, okay, that's your point, that you got a new stadium. Okay, the noise is there, but they're dealing with it. I'm surprised that you got the two new parks going up in New York, that one of them didn't go with the dome, just to have something different. That's what they have to do here with these two teams. That's why the White Sox should have moved to the suburbs when their moment came.
Yeah, you know, the New Yorkers like to think they're tough. We don't need a dome.
Okay, well, then you don't need a dome. But
this toughness in baseball is nothing. It's for rain.
Right, because how many games
cold
are delayed or canceled?
Well, at Wrigley, it's for cold.
And the first month in these northern states is touch and go.
Yep.
Because it's cold, snowy still. All right.
Yeah, that's what I say. A dome, you know, for the Cubs would make sense because the cold. I mean, look at it. Every opening day, it's like snowball fights at Wrigley.
And as the attendance continues to erode, this whole, well, people love the park. It's the Vatican of ballparks. That's what I called it. And I meant if the Vatican was in disrepair. So they're not coming now anyway. They want a winner now. Now you got to have a winning team. That whole luster of, oh, it's such a beautiful park, that only went so far. That's over.
Yeah, it gets old after a while. That lovable loser thing, it gets really old in a hurry.
All right, one of the guys from the game just came to the window and flipped me off, said, stop it. That's our territory.
Ruh-roh.
All right, Matt.
By the way, speaking of scents, Gary, something that's always been, I've always liked the scent or the smell of, and I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but a print shop, a place, you know, like a place that does printing, the fresh paper and the fresh ink, there's something about a high-volume print shop.
Yeah, I was talking to Jim Ramsey about aromas, and I mentioned leather. If you go to a leather store, like a hardware store.
Yeah, you go to a shoe store and stuff. Yeah, right. That's what made me think of a print shop. For some reason, I should have gotten into the printing industry, but then I probably would have gotten sick of it. But I've always liked the smell of a print shop. I don't know why.
All right.
Maybe it goes back to the days of Ditto fluid.
Yeah, when we had the mimeographed tests at school, if you're from that era.
The machine and the mimeograph machine, yeah.
First thing you did, and they showed that in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They had that scene where everybody was sniffing.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what movie it was. It was Fast Times, yeah, where they all take the paper and sniff it, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Ditto fluid. Not to be confused with mimeograph. That's something different.
All right, Matt, make room for the other seven callers that I got to get to.
Sayonara.
Thank you. Matt is one of the Whack Pack 8. So I still have Wes from South Bend, Joe.
You shouldn't put a number on it, because then if you don't mention somebody, you're going to get some mad text. I thought I was in the Whack Pack.
Okay, so I've got this audio. There's video to it if you want to check it out on YouTube. Leslie sent me this. It was titled Boys Beware. It was an anti-homosexual
predator kind of thing.
Predator public service announcement, if you will, like Reefer Madness back in its day. And this is from 1961, so when you listen to it with that in mind, because you might be offended on how they're doing this, but listen to this.
That looks innocent enough, doesn't it? Lots of young people hitchhike. Seems like a good way to get from one place to another. But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. Let's take the case of Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy played baseball all afternoon, and he didn't feel like walking home, so he decided to thumb a ride. He'd done it 100 times before, and he didn't think anything was unusual when the driver struck up a friendly conversation. In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. He asked Jimmy if he played baseball in the park often. Jimmy told him they practiced 3 times a week and played a rival group on Friday afternoon. The stranger was a good listener, too, and it only seemed minutes before they pulled up in front of Jimmy's house. When Jimmy got out, the stranger gave him a friendly pat. Then he told him he'd see him again, as he always drove by the park on his way home. Sure enough, the following day, when Jimmy finished playing ball, well, the man was there waiting. They stopped at a drive-in, and the stranger treated him to a Coke. During their conversation, he told several off-color jokes, but Jimmy had heard others before, and, well, it made him feel big to so easily win the confidence of an older person. Jimmy hadn't enjoyed himself so much in a long time. Then during lunch, Ralph showed him some pornographic pictures. Jimmy knew he shouldn't be interested, but, well, he was curious. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. Finally, Jimmy told his parents, and they reported it to the juvenile authorities. Ralph was arrested, and Jimmy was released on probation in the custody of his parents. But all homosexuals are not passive. Some resort to violence, as in the case of Mike Merritt. In the heat of competition, no one noticed the man who sat and watched. And when the game broke up and the others left, Mike decided to stay and practice a little longer. The stranger joined him. He was friendly and, well, it was better than playing alone. But after a few shots, Mike realized he had already overstayed his time and suggested he better leave. The stranger told him if he'd like to stay longer, he'd be glad to drive him home when they finished. Sounded great to Mike. Chance to play longer and get a ride home, too. When they finished, the stranger told him he'd make a fine player someday if he got lots of practice. The companionship, the praise, the friendly attitude dispelled any misgivings Mike might have had about going with a stranger. He probably never realized until too late that he was riding in the shadow of death. But sometime that evening, Mike Merritt traded his life for a newspaper headline. Public restrooms can often be a hangout for the homosexual. Bobby and his friends hadn't noticed the man who had been in the restroom when they changed, and as it was late, he suggested they take the shortcut under the pier, but the others preferred to take the more traveled way home. When Bobby recognized the stranger as the man in the restroom, the shortcut under the pier didn't seem like a good idea at all. After all, it's more fun to stay with your friends anyway. Bobby had made a wise decision. It may have saved his life. The decision is always yours, and your whole future may depend on making the right one. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly, if they try to win your confidence too quickly, and if they become overly personal. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal, and it may be too late when you discover he is mentally ill. So keep with your group, and don't go off alone with strangers unless you have the permission of your parent or teacher.
You might be thinking, that's from 100 years ago, right? That's from 1961.
Man.
And I was thinking, where did they play that? Because you didn't have the internet, so it wasn't like they just threw it out there. They had to show that in
schools
or some kind of assembly.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember any of that when I was in high school,
man,
which is later than that. But you got the Driver's Ed film, which had that same tone. And
same
the music
thing.
Sounds like it's out of Leave It to Beaver.
They're talking about this dreaded thing, and they're playing doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah. They're sick in the head, and
wow,
you should know that. So who put that together? I didn't notice.
It was a
government piece?
Yeah, I want to say, from 1961.
Yeah.
Gosh.
That's amazing.
It was educational.
And think how, in three or four or five years, when the Beatles showed up, how everything changed. The attitudes.
And then that was not applicable anymore.
I mean, but that's only
because
two or three
their manager was gay and everything was fine.
Wow.
So that's how heavy-handed they would get anything like that, with drugs and, well, you got that Dragnet stuff.
Did I miss a part of this? Why did Jimmy get arrested?
Jimmy's on probation.
Why?
Because Jimmy should have known.
I mean, what did he do?
Should have known the dangers of
looking. Because he had the stirrings when he looked
right
at those photos.
He looked
photos
at the porno pictures.
So are we under...
He's on probation.
So are we supposed to think that there actually was some activity between the two?
That one
and then...
scenario, you assume the one kid turned up dead. They never said.
They never...
It was like
the one
was...
who went to the apartment with the man?
Yeah. He became the headline the next day.
I'll tell you.
And they didn't say how or why.
We used to have police come to our school once a year, officer friendly, and he would talk about stranger danger.
Well, that was just getting in the car with any kind of stranger.
Right.
But I think there was an implication.
Really? I never got that.
I never did either. I always thought you just didn't want to get kidnapped or something.
Right. That was the
attitude. But listening to
this, attitude.
They're saying don't get into a car because there could be a dreaded homosexual in it.
But this is the first I've ever seen of that. Why is it just out now? Did they just release it now, or
I found it. Somebody had it as a link to their website, it was on Reddit. No, it wasn't Reddit.
That was the scariest day at school because then on the way home, I used to walk three or four blocks home. Every time a car would drive by, I would be afraid that someone's going to stop.
But nobody did. Nobody offered you the ALS challenge.
No.
And that's your lonely, pathetic life.
I couldn't even find Stranger Danger to be my friend.
Oh, we had plenty in our neighborhood. You should have come by.
Well, you said you got flashed, right?
Yeah. Guy tried to take me and Kathy and Christine, Stephanopoulos. into a driveway or into a gangway and show us his private parts.
How old were you?
About six.
Jeez.
And then when I was 12, two guys pulled up next to me in a car and said, "Get in the car, Sandy."
Oh.
And I went, I'm not Sandy. And they said, "Get in the car, Sandy." And they flashed a badge and opened the back door, and it's like, hell no.
And how old were you then?
12.
12?
Ran off.
And you finally got
and
out of that
neighborhood. And then when I was 19,
I hope.
A guy pulled a knife on me, put it in my back, and said he was going to rape and kill me. And that's when my parents decided it was time to move.
Oh, was that all in the city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same neighborhood?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I grew up in Lincoln Square. It was a nice neighborhood.
Where is it?
Lincoln Square.
Give us the parameters of that.
Yeah, what's
Lincoln, Lawrence, and Western.
Wow.
And what is it now?
That's the High Line area.
It's really High Line. And it was always a nice neighborhood. So I think that's where the ne'er-do-wells would travel to pick on innocent, naive little girls. Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, thank you for finding that.
Yeah.
Showing
I'm glad
us
I could
how crazy we were back then. There's stuff probably after that is of heavy-handedness. And you wonder, that's only 50 years ago. It's not like it's, like I said, 100
years ago.
No,
that's what's
so
weird.
Yeah.
And but you realize the difference, too, is we don't have bench seats anymore in the front seat, so you can't slide over and give Jimmy a pat on the back the way you would back in the day.
The sad part is there's some people that still believe that.
Yes.
50 years later. It's a disease. I mean, when he was saying a disease, I was trying to think, what are they going to bring in? And they said, no, it's homosexuality.
Right. That kind of conversation still goes on. But the feeling of how they handled this didn't really start to break down until about 30 years ago when it really became because we're talking about all this anti-gay stuff way through the 70s.
Oh,
so
without a doubt.
Yeah. Where they would face all this resistance.
Well, look at even when AIDS started in the mid-80s, Ryan White got kicked out of his city. They had to move because they were throwing rocks at the kid at school. And he wasn't homosexual, but they figured he
was. Well, I think it's more like the way people used to think you could catch cancer.
Well,
they were afraid that having this kid in school was going to infect the entire class.
What I'm just saying is that it was a whole overview of it. This was the gay disease.
Well, remember Rock Hudson? Where my parents, there would be whispers. I don't know what gay was, but they would talk about that. You know, there's talk that he's homosexual, and he couldn't come out at all because that would have killed his career.
In our house, it was always, I think he vacations at Fire Island. And I had no idea what the heck that meant.
Isn't Fire Island like a hot resort now to hang out?
Right. But
is
it was
it
a
gay?
Big,
is it
but in the 70s and
now?
80s, I don't know if it still is, but in the 70s days, that was where you went, to Fire Island.
Yeah, I would hear that, and Dinah Shore was mulatto, and I didn't know what that meant either.
And Plato's Retreat, they talked about
Dinah Shore?
Yes. That's what I can't say.
She was mulatto? Really?
Right. That was the word back then.
Mulatto?
Not mixed
mulatto,
race.
No.
She was a mulatto. What is that?
They have that at Starbucks.
Now they do.
Yeah, they have a mulatto.
That's
with ice.
Venti. Here's Leslie.
Huge crowd showed up this morning for events celebrating the efforts of the Little League team from Jackie Robinson West. Governor Quinn and Mayor Emanuel were among the dignitaries that helped kick off a...
Dignitaries. I'm surprised these guys showed up for something like this. Jesse Jackson was there.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys show up for this. How about showing up when it's really ugly, too, sometime?
Governor Quinn almost went Howard Dean. And we'll go to Englewood.
Yeah.
And we'll go to... And
well, I'm
Pullman
okay,
and whatever.
Q.
And then later, Daryl gave his speech, and he said, "Governor Quinn is my best friend." I'm like, wondering where Daryl is going to get a job in the new administration.
Well, hey, got some connections, Daryl. Use them.
Two Chicago men have filed suit against a local taxi company after a driver tried to evict them from a cab for sharing a kiss. Matthew McRae and Stephen White say the Sun taxi driver wanted to leave them on the shoulder of an expressway after they shared a one-second kiss while en route from the airport. The two are seeking an undisclosed amount of damages. And Thursday's ZZ Top and Jeff Beck concert at Ravinia has been canceled. ZZ Top's bassist, Dusty Hill, was injured aboard the band's tour bus, prompting promoters to suspend all performances through mid-September. Ticket holders will be contacted via email about refunds.
That's too bad. That would have been a great show.
Interesting show, too. The pairing.
A
lot of guitars.
That's Jeff Becky.
That's what they have.
Eden's outbound's looking good. Inbound side about 23 from Lake Hook to Montrose. Kennedy almost an hour and a half to O'Hare thanks to a crash at Cumberland. Left lane blocked. Inbound side at 40 minutes. Eisenhower westbound's already 37 just to get to Mannheim. Stevenson about 53 minutes out to 355. Ryan at 22, and it's still pretty quiet on the tollways. Tonight's forecast partly cloudy, a low around 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, late storms and a high of 80. Friday, cloudy, periods of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 84. Storms continue through the weekend. I'm Leslie Keiling, WGN.FM.
This text says, so it's okay to hitchhike with a heterosexual? Yeah, are they any safer? No. They should do a film on that, too.
Man.
Yeah, stay away from... People don't hitchhike much anymore. You don't see that.
I don't really see
that. I used to do that all the time.
Did you?
In my teens, yeah, and didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, but I remember my brother getting caught by my father hitchhiking outside the high school. He was at Gordon Tech and was hitchhiking outside school. And I just remember there was yelling in the house because of that.
Yeah, I mean.
So you had no problem getting into a car?
No. Well, I was usually with somebody else, a couple other guys.
Yeah.
But I thought, who would pick us up anyway? What kind of person picks people up like that? Now, some people think, hey, I'm just trying to help somebody.
Did you ever pick up a hitchhiker?
No. There's no way.
So then why would you think
I don't know. I always found it fascinating that they would pick me up.
I know.
Did they talk to you? Was there a lot of chatter in the car?
I'm sure there was small talk, but I don't remember anything bad happening.
It's like the Lyft app now. It's just a car stops by and you jump in.
Right. Make sure it has a pink mustache on it. And if that doesn't make you think... why do they have a pink mustache on the front of these cars?
I believe it's mustache.
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 A mustache.
According to Mr. Ramsey.
Spartans! What is your profession?
Here's a text at 312-521-8600. Listening online, they're playing tomorrow's show. A little change up on that comment. As far as, it's yesterday's show, it's last week's show, it's tomorrow's show. Eric.
Gary, Jim, Leslie, hello everyone.
Hello.
Hey, I used to work part-time as a cop, and Leslie had mentioned earlier that when she was a kid, somebody tried to lure her into a car by using a police badge. And I'll never forget, I came across a car parked in a parking lot. There was an old police car at one time that went up, you know, for auction, and somebody bought it. And I had just a bad feeling about it. Call it intuition or whatever. But as I got closer, I, you know, ran the license plate on it, and it was basically outfitted to be a kidnapping car. And it had black duct tape. It had an undercover Mars light. It had a police scanner. And the more I had looked into it, the more things just did not add up. So I guess my point is you have to be careful when you think you're being pulled over by the real police that it very well could be an imposter.
Well, how do you know, aside from if they have a Mars light and all that?
That does happen a lot today, too.
Thanks to eBay. I mean, you can go on eBay. Well, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but, you know, for somebody who's intent on, you know, becoming a police imposter and pulling women over or whomever, you know, eBay is the answer to a lot of their, you know, a lot of their wishes as far as getting police equipment and uniforms and stuff like that.
Oh, isn't that the premise of Let's Be Cops, the comedy that's currently playing in theaters?
Well, this car, there were a couple of things. One, it was a beater, and I was thinking, well, if you're important enough to have your own take-home unmarked car and you're part of a, you know, police agency, they're not going to give you a beater unless maybe you're in Chicago. But for 90% of the suburbs will give, you know, a halfway decent car. And I'm thinking, well, it would have a police computer and a radio in it and not a scanner. And the car was just all decked out with fake police antennas and then the Mars light and then the roll of duct tape and handcuffs in the back seat were kind of a dead giveaway. So, and I still remember the plate. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it was kind of creepy just to see somebody's intentions, you know. And we've been on the car for a while, but
I guess the only way to somewhat safeguard yourself is if you're not sure, just roll the window down about an inch, keep the door locked, and try to figure out what's going on that way.
Right. And, you know, if there anybody who's listening right now, if you get pulled over, and a lot of times you can't tell if it's a marked or an unmarked car, you know, in the beginning, especially if it's night, just try and pull over to a public area. And like you said, crack the window a little bit. And the policeman, at that point, if he's making a traffic stop, he should be in uniform. And if he's not, then, you know, call 911 or say, you know, I'll cooperate with you, but I would prefer to have a marked squad car with a policeman in uniform. And any diligent officer will say, no problem, just sit tight, and I'll get somebody over here to help.
Good idea, Eric. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that's Eric. He's one of the...
Yes, he's becoming one if he wasn't before.
So, Matt, now here's taxi driver Bob. We're going to have the whole pack before 5 o'clock.
I was just driving in unincorporated Grundy County, Gary, and I had Cliff in the car, and he was very offended by the piece that you had on homosexuals.
As he should be.
He was very upset.
Yeah, and Cliff's not even homosexual, so he was just offended as a person of the United States. Why he's in the back seat of your taxi, Bob, I don't know. But that's what Eric was talking about, you picking up people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, I was last night I was driving around Ravinia Park, and the Beach Boys were there last night.
Oh, yeah?
With the Temptations. And the Beach Boys were played last. And a lot of people had left early, and the weather wasn't bad or anything like that. And it just seemed kind of lackluster, you know. I mean, if you think about it, how many times do you hear the Beach Boys on the radio anymore? And when was the last time? Well, you probably listened to Beach Boys music recently, but the average person, who's played Beach Boys music recently in their music selection, you know, on their
site? All right, but if you bought a ticket, sure. You want to go hear the Beach Boys, so that doesn't matter.
Oh, for sure. No, I'm just saying that it seemed kind of lackluster. There was a ton of people there.
Now, I mean, which configuration of the Beach Boys is this? Because I know they had a bit of a falling out because some of the guys didn't want to go with the other guys.
This is Mike Love.
This is Mike Love.
Yeah.
You have to have, if you call yourself the Beach Boys or any group that has notoriety, you have to have at least one original member to go out and call yourself that.
Yeah, as well. Yeah, exactly.
So this
exactly.
is the Mike Love configuration. I think there's another faction.
Yeah, there is.
With Al Jardine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Bruce Johnston.
Yeah, I think. And then, you know, every so often, Brian Wilson will go out. And I think now the factions have, before, Mike Love was kind of with Jardine, but now I think Jardine got mad on the last 50, because they did a 50th anniversary tour where they were all together, and then more fighting started. So,
my God, at some point,
they're all 75 years old.
Right.
Just get over it.
Just do it or don't do it. But, man, this has been going on for decades with these guys.
I think Mike Love is still mad that, you know, Brian Wilson wrote Pet Sounds, and it didn't sound like a real Beach Boys album anymore.
All right. Just calm down, Mike. Just enjoy the ride.
I think that Jeff Beck concert that you mentioned, Gary, was probably one of the best that they had scheduled. And now that they have it canceled, it seems kind of like, I think what happened was Jeff Beck heard that you got X'd off of the Ravinia thing,
that's
and
it.
He decided he was going to cancel to go along with you and just follow trend. You know what I'm saying?
I know
he's
you're saying.
For him.
Thank you,
know,
Bob. All right, Bob, talk to you. Thank you. That would have been the concert I would have suggested to broadcast from.
Yeah, that's a good one.
As it turns out, it would have been for naught. Rich?
Hey, guys. You know you're getting old when ZZ Top cancels their tour due to the bass player slipping on the tour bus and sustaining an injury to his hip.
Yeah, well, it must be serious. It wouldn't just be because he bruised his hip.
Hopefully he didn't break his hip. You know, the guy's 65 years old.
65 is the new 45. Our hips are fine.
But, man.
Thank you, Rich.
Yeah, but his hand is okay. Couldn't he just sit down and play?
Yeah, like Don Rickles.
In a wheelchair, a rascal.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Hopefully they'll come back soon, because that would have been a great show.
Toward the end, he wound up dying of a stroke, but for a couple of years, Clarence Clemons was in really bad shape, and he literally had this giant throne. And he would sit in this giant throne, and then when he would have to play his few little parts, he'd stand up, kind of, and then he'd sit back down again.
Well, he was legitimately ill.
Oh, yeah.
As it turns out.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he didn't die from it, but he had bad hips, bad knees. He died from a stroke, but I mean, seeing for a couple of years there, he was in really bad pain.
Yeah, that's nothing for those of us who go to see these groups, whatever the performers who are contemporaries, and you look at them and go, oh, geez, how old are we? That's why I stopped going to Beatlemania. I just, I can't.
Fest, you're...
Whatever they call it. Not Beatlemania, right. Beatle right. Fest.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just trying to postpone as much as I can.
Well, I mean, I feel bad because, I said, over the last couple of years, there hasn't been one act I've seen in concert where the headliner has not been over 60. I mean, that's, and I'm sitting there going, it's cool to see them, but how much more am I going to see this? Because it's not as good. It's just not.
Well, that's what you have to face.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the fact that they're still out there doing it.
Oh, it's great, and they know that their audience will pay the money to see them, and that's why they're continuing to go out there in their 70s.
I was talking earlier about the moment the Cubs are at as far as crap or get off the throne, the trough, whatever you call those things that they have there. If you have to make hard lemonade at Wrigley, God bless you, because you talk about the trough and everything. That's a palace kind of item compared to when you go in those stalls, because they seem to always overflow about two innings into the game.
Yeah, the floor always does seem wet in there.
Just anyway, I got this text as far as moving at this point, and it says the Cubs to Hammond, Indiana, right off the toll road, easy in, easy out.
Nah,
the New York NFL teams play in New Jersey.
Yeah, they both do, both football teams.
If the Cubs left Chicago, wouldn't the city sue them for lost revenue? I don't think they can do that. They'd lose some revenue, yeah, but
can't sue them.
They're not tied to that legally.
Well, I do remember back in the 70s, the Bears at one time, when Halas owned the team still, were threatening to move out to Arlington Heights. And the old Mayor Daley said, then you can't call them Chicago.
Yeah, you can.
Well, he was like, he was going to make some kind of disturbance that they would not be able to use the term Chicago if they moved to Arlington
Heights. Yeah, you can.
Oh, I'm sure you can legally. But
how many teams around the country in all sports don't play in the city that they're named for?
Very few actually do play in the actual city now. They may have started, but...
Yeah, it's all over the place.
They've gone to the suburbs, too.
All right. 312-521-8600. On Tuesday, Dan Fedor will be here. He's the guy, the tech guy, that enlightens at least me with things that I'm not familiar with, and hopefully some of you, to make your life easier if you want to listen to this program. He'll be bringing with him a Verizon representative who will have a phone to give away and some of those FM transmitters which plug into your smartphone, and then you can pull up the audio to this over any of the FM channels in your car, and some of those fly grips. I hope he has a number of those. It's a piece that attaches to the back of your phone so it's easier to hold when you're talking on it, or you can stand it up like a little picture frame. And somebody came up with that, and it's a brilliant idea. So that's Tuesday. I'll find out what time and let you know tomorrow and Friday. But he always brings, well, the first time he was on, he brought some stuff. He was on about a week or two ago and said, I'll be back in September and have some stuff, because I like to give away stuff.
And what's the estimated delivery time on those items?
These will get out right away, because I think I'm going to have the Verizon people send the stuff out, as opposed to what happened where ours got lost in a locker here.
Please allow 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks.
For delivery.
But I don't think it's going to be that long. And tomorrow, Eric Childress will review the following movies. Frank, which is Michael Fassbender.
Oh, with this big...
Fassbender.
Binder? Yeah,
Fast. That's what I had in school. I had a Fast Binder.
Is it
Fast Binder or Bender?
I think it's Fast Binder.
You don't know. Oh,
I'm almost
Fast Bender.
Bender?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bender. Fast Bender. Anyway, he wears a big head.
Yeah.
Like a paper mache head through the whole movie.
He's a rock star.
Love is Strange is the other one. November Man. And then this one, As Above, So Below. It says not screening for critics.
Uh-oh.
That's always an indication that something might be bad. Speaking of not getting in strangers' cars, have you ever seen the movie Prisoners with Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman? You ever see that movie?
No, I heard about that
one. It's really good.
They were actually talking about, I remember before the movie came out, they were talking that Jake, they thought he was going to get an Academy Award nomination.
I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah, he was.
And then the
excellent.
Movie just fizzled.
I don't know why. I mean, it's really well done. It's about these two girls who get kidnapped, but everybody's great in it. But Jake Gyllenhaal,
he's a good actor.
He is, and I mean, this thing seems tailor made for all his. He's got a twitch and all this stuff, and it's just perfect for what the role is. But if you get a chance, it does pop up on your cable systems.
Or did you just
fairly
see it,
often.
A normal HBO kind of thing?
It was on HBO, but we rented it about a year ago when it came
did.
Out.
Oh, okay.
Or right after it came out. But check it out, Prisoners.
Well, now think about, you're talking about how fast the summer went by. So all the big summer movies, it's done.
That's it.
It's finished.
No, it's back to school time.
I mean,
Labor Day weekend, and as you would say in the ad for ZZ Top and Jeff Beck, lots of guitars.
Lots of guitars.
Just lots of guitars.
Lots of guitars.
No movies of any caliber are going to be opening now
for another
until they
weeks.
Get into, right, the fall
yeah.
run up to Christmas. Now they're doing that thing, opening Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, they've been doing I've seen the coming attractions for some in September already earlier this month. So they were even starting that. Because the big one's going to be, there's this movie called Girl Gone, or Gone Girl. Gone Girl.
And my wife read the book and said the ending is terribly unsatisfying.
Well, the woman who wrote the book, who was actually from Chicago, did write the screenplay. And the guy that directed it directed like Seven, you know, that Kevin Spacey movie. So this guy is, you know.
Yeah, but.
David Fincher, but
I guess the ending is just a fizzle.
Well, they may have changed. I don't know how, because I did get the woman who wrote the book, and I don't know. And I know the director wanted to change some things, so maybe
yeah.
he changed the ending. Who knows? But it's kind of like a Lacey Peterson?
Well, that's what I thought it was based on, and my wife said no, it's not that. And
no, okay,
she didn't like the ending at all.
Okay,
but yeah, that Lacey Peterson. Now that's a movie.
Yeah.
Wow, what a ditch rat that guy was. Still is, I'm sure, in prison. But who comes up with the alibi, I went fishing on Christmas Eve when your wife is 8 months pregnant? I had to go fishing in the rough bay of San Francisco.
Oh, man. And then when they found...
When that body popped up, that was like a movie.
He had... I mean, you wouldn't.
It was
you
like Deliverance when that body at the end pops up.
You could not have written that.
No.
And then when they found on his computer that he was looking at the tides... And how the tides mm-hmm. went. I mean, and then for that torso to wash up.
And then he's calling that girlfriend.
Right.
Looking for his wife.
Amber something, remember?
Right.
Amber Fry.
And you'd see his expression when all this was going on, and he didn't have any really emotion that was parallel to what was going on.
And he was out there, remember, with all the candle
right.
vigils, and we're searching, and he had his little hat on and his hooded sweatshirt, and he looked all distraught, and it was just like... Wow, what an actor that guy was.
For a while.
Yeah.
Nobody bought that crap.
And then it crumbled.
The most popular slot machine out of 1900 at the MGM Grand in Vegas. The lion's share has had a reputation since it was installed in the 90s for boasting a sizable jackpot, thanks to no one ever having won it. It's so popular that it's played once every 5 seconds. So Linda and Walter Miskow from New Hampshire... couldn't believe it when they watched the elusive three green emblems line up on their last night in town and walked out of the casino with $2.4 million.
Nice. I'm sure that paid for the vacation.
You think? Although you have to fill out the tax forms before you leave the casino.
You never know
that.
I hope they didn't say, I'll just throw it in a couple of nickels, and pretty soon they lost it all.
I just sat there thinking it hadn't actually happened, said Walter. A retired horse farmer,
wow.
says his wife of 48 years, told him to play it. They've been coming to Vegas every few months for 20 years. They're MGM Grand regulars.
Oh, well, good for them.
It took roughly 5 minutes, placing the maximum $3 bet to win the whole jackpot.
Well, at least it was somebody that deserved it. They were longtime
right,
players.
And they've been losing money there.
Loyal.
For years.
They've been losing money.
They probably broke even.
Right now.
If they've been going for 20 years that often.
Well, think about it. That's not even an exaggeration. I'm sure they didn't spend $2 million, but I bet you they spent couple hundred thousand.
When you start to add up all the little stuff you buy and piss away.
You got to eat eat two times at least, three times a day.
Chi-Chi.
You got to fly there.
So they broke even. That's good. Chi-Chi.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. What up, bro?
Cha-cha.
Hey, you were talking about random movies or whatever, and I saw this one the other day that I want you to check out. It's called, it's only an hour and a half long, which was perfect because I'm sick of these long movies. It's called Bronson by the guy who was Bane in that Batman movie. I think his name is Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of jacked. It's about the most incarcerated man in England. Like, he's been in prison for like 40 of his 50 years on Earth. And he just beats the crap out of all the inmates and the guards. And so they keep him in there in solitary confinement, and he's just this beast of a man. And he got arrested for, like, robbing a post office, and he got $15, and he's been in prison for all his life. It's insane.
Bronson.
It's just called Bronson, and he changed his name legally to Charlie Bronson. Like, that's not his name, but he was like it's crazy, but I want you to check it out.
All right.
Have you
seen that movie Prisoners I was talking about?
No, I got a kid. I don't think it scared me too much.
No, don't watch it. Don't watch it with your family. That's where
I know, but I mean, that's like my biggest fear, man. I don't get in on that.
Well,
I better avoid that stuff.
It pushes all those buttons where these two girls, probably 12, they decide to go from, they're at one person's house, and they decide to go back to get something at their house, and there's been this camper out in front of a house, and then the girls don't come back, and so they start running around the neighborhood, and it's that whole, holy crap. And,
I've seen the trailer. So does somebody kill the guy they think it is?
Well,
like, the guy was like, wants to take revenge on it.
Yes.
Would you spoil it for me? Because it looks awesome.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
No, huge. Well, I don't want to give it all away because if you want, you should see it. Hugh Jackman does take some of this into his own hands.
Well, because you see I haven't seen the movie, but you do see that guy chained to a radiator, and he looks kind of beat up.
You think? He looks like the head that Michael Fassbender has in the Frank movie. If I could correlate.
Big giant paper mache thing.
Yeah.
Big head with a big smile.
But everybody in the movie.
Did that nerdy guy do it?
What's that?
Did the nerdy guy do it, the guy with the glasses?
I'm not going to say. I'm not going to, because if you want to watch it, it'll ruin it for you, but.
I gotta go.
I do too. It really builds up nicely, and again, Hugh Jackman. He should have gotten. Did he get nominated?
No,
for that.
Nothing.
No.
All right.
Neither of them did.
Should have. Wes.
Hey, Gary West from South Bend.
There he is.
That's number seven. Hey,
number seven. Number three.
Add me to the list.
Number four.
Hey, that couple that hit that big jackpot on there last night. I mean, that would be sweet. And I've heard you on the radio for years. Oh, do I think? Hell yeah. I mean. But now you've talked about buying Lotto when it got to $200 million or Powerball or whatever, whichever one it is. There's so many now. But what would you actually do? Would you give up this gravy gig you got, or would you?
It's called the gravy gig at Lollapalooza. No, I want to take every dime. I want to take every. Sit here. You wouldn't even know I won. I'm going to take every dime and enjoy it. Well, I got plans, my man. I got plans for that money.
Well, okay. Well, I'm not.
I'm
hoping you don't hit it because I love your show.
Well,
but, you know.
People always say, well, you quit your job. You're right about that. This is not the kind of job where, geez, I'm tired of moving slop around. This is easy.
Yeah.
Not easy in every sense, but it's not the worst job in the world, and I'm not going to give it up for anything.
Right. You're not hauling bricks up scaffolding all day, which is a huge backbreaker.
I mean, work construction. I saw roofers. And if they were 20, they looked like they were 55 and not a good 55. I thought, that's real work. This is just flapping my soup coolers for 4 hours.
I love it, though. You do a good job flapping your soup coolers.
Well, thank you.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
All right.
Thank you, Wes.
Hall of Fame. Take her easy, Gary.
Okay.
Well, Wes likes you.
That's
important.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you become a radio mogul? Just start buying up radio stations and...
Yeah,
would you
and
do
at
that?
This point, they're worth about a fraction of what they used to be worth, but no.
I don't think that's a good investment.
No, these stations are all under stress with debt and everything. Ugh.
Yeah. Let's be a hired gun.
It's better. All my inventory is, friend of mine said, is in my noggin.
Right,
I don't have to stock shelves. I don't have to worry about food spoilage. It's all in my noggin. I can take it anywhere, set up, thank you, bing, bang, boom. Leslie, what is going on? Oh, that story we touched on yesterday because it came in at the end of the show. That 9-year-old that killed that gun instructor in Arizona with the Uzi.
Mm-hmm.
There is video.
Yeah.
Up
until
The
death blow.
Which tells me there is video of the entire thing.
Yes, I'm sure there is. They take it because they have it set initially to a single shot, and then there's another dial where it says multiple.
Full auto.
And then the video ends, but that part is out there.
Yeah.
And you're thinking you're about 2 seconds away from seeing a guy's head blowing off.
Jeez. I feel so bad for that little girl.
Well, I don't understand why a 9-year-old is being introduced to an Uzi. You want to go target practice or whatever? Isn't there something a little less violent and powerful?
Well, super scooper. What are those things?
Super soakers?
Yeah,
super scooper.
That's what she should be shooting.
Well,
start with
and
that.
I think that was the draw. If you see the sign in the front of the gun range, it's this is a place to go and feel what it's like to shoot something fully automatic.
Okay.
Which I got to tell you is kind of a rush.
If you're an adult.
Well, but that's the problem. And as soon as I was shooting a Tommy gun.
Here we go.
Listen to Ma Barker.
Yeah. Okay, Bonnie.
What happens as soon as you start to fire, your arms get thrown up. So, I thought I was aiming at my target's chest, and all of a sudden there's like a row heading up toward his head. And so you can imagine that's me with a little kid. That gun is going to take her arm off.
That's what happened.
Yep.
Right into his head.
Oh.
Was he right next to her?
Yeah, he was really close.
Oh. So he had no chance to.
No.
He probably didn't even know it happened.
Exactly. Now we're going to turn the setting to automatic. And, John F. Kennedy Jr., how are you? There's another stunad. They did and I mentioned that because I saw People Magazine at the checkout counter. They did a 15th anniversary of his death.
Wow.
Issue. It's this year, the 15th anniversary.
Wow.
So there he is with his wife, and I'm thinking, you knew you couldn't fly at night, so not only did you jeopardize your life, you took two people with you.
Yeah.
Because it was around the summer, right? Because there was a wedding.
It was right in July of
99. Oh, it was July, okay.
But still, he took off at twilight.
Yeah.
It said in the article that one of the guys he worked with, after he heard the news, he went into his office, and there was a Post-it note on his phone that his secretary left him and said, what was his sister-in-law's name? Whatever her name was, Lauren is downstairs. Post a note on the phone.
Jeez.
All right. Now.
And he knew he wasn't instrument trained.
Right.
So.
And you talk to any pilot, if you're in the dark, you could be upside down and you wouldn't know it.
Over the ocean,
over the
no
ocean,
less.
Right, where there's no markings or lights or anything.
And you're JFK Jr. You've got enough money to get a plane.
That's why he did it, because he's JFK Jr. He's I can do anything.
I bet you the wife was like, why are we doing this? I bet you everyone around him knew he wasn't a good pilot, but no one had the guts to tell him.
See, I'm the perfect person to be around because I have a panic button,
right?
And I will press that mother.
Exactly.
Yes.
I did it when I was on the boat on the Chicago River with all those people, and we got into a storm, and we're heading back to the dock, and it was all hell, and I went, we got to get on this boat! And they all looked at me. Like I was crazy, but I don't care.
I think you were doing a scene from Jaws.
Yeah, it's so
we're
going to
need a bigger boat.
Right. I'm not going to be the one go, I should have said something earlier.
But you did get him back.
Yeah, well, I didn't do anything but scream, but
right,
at least I wanted to be known
right.
That we might be in danger. Gary Meyer on the dot. Leslie looked up the Neil Young marital history. He did have a relationship with this actress, Carrie Snodgrass, before he married this woman he's now divorcing. And I believe she confirmed, and Noel, if you know this, jump in, that is Dick Kaye's daughter, Carrie Snodgrass, because that's
what she said.
Dick's real last name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, well, there's no prize if you do.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. What do you got?
Not much. I was just calling to say that I enjoy your show so much, and I had a delivery made today, and I just want to check and see that you received it.
I do have a box here, and it says Fannie Mae.
Okay. I just want to be sure it's not in your very warm office.
Well, when Craig picked up the box, he said, do you want me to put it down in your office when we came up to the 7th floor? And I said, no, just because I can take it down at 7 o'clock. But I didn't even think about that.
Right.
And I'm glad you brought that up because, man, it is hot in there today.
Oofa.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, it's hot today. Yeah.
I have some. Well, those candy bars you dropped off the other day, Noel.
Are they?
They're in the drawer. I gave some to Duffy. I'm doling them out little by little, but some are in the drawer because I'm popping one about every 15 minutes. But I'm thinking now, those, I'm going to put them in my refrigerator.
Right.
Yeah.
If I can move some of the booze around.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Well, thank you for that. It's unnecessary, but I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. No, you're welcome. I said I would bring something else last week, and then I, you know, when I got to Fannie Mae, it was the week. So
that's
anyway,
all right.
Before...
I appreciate the effort. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Noel.
Bye-bye.
No, I'm not going to have to taste that before you eat it, am I? As usual?
No. Oh. No, I trust. She won one of the crucifixes.
Oh.
Kevin.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know, I remember that when Junior went up in that plane, he came across the flight instructor who practically begged him to let him go with him that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, I kind of go back to last week. This is a pilot thing, too. You know, Jim... If you sneeze when you look at the sun, it's a syndrome, and you can't be an Air Force pilot if that happens to you.
Really?
When you sneeze, when you look at the sun?
Come out of a turn, wow. You look at the sun, you sneeze, you know, you lose your concentration for a second.
Wow, so I couldn't have been a pilot.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen, so that wasn't anything you had to worry about. But he mentioned the other day that when he walks outside and sees the sun, or I don't know why he's looking up at the sun.
No, just any kind of sunlight.
And he starts to sneeze.
Yeah.
And one more thing. I said that when the crash, that when Teddy heard about the chicks, he freaked.
When he heard about what?
The chicks.
The chicks in the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kevin.
You started off promising.
He had just gotten a cast off his leg because he broke his ankle because I think he... ziplined or paraglided into a tree.
That's
JFK
right.
Jr. Yeah. So he had just gotten the cast off, and the reason that's important in all this is the plane he was flying, and I got a text about what kind of plane it was. You have to use your feet to move the pedals.
Oh, wow.
And maybe you didn't have the strength to do that, but I don't know if that would have been any kind of saving grace for him. I think he was doomed because he didn't know where he was.
Yeah, I think, he lost.
I pray to God that the women didn't know what was happening and they were dead before they knew it.
Yeah, but how?
I mean, pray to God for that. In that, if you know that this thing's out of control, imagine those final seconds.
Well, you know, from what they say, if you get vertigo, which they think most likely happened based on the way the trajectory of the plane, they were in a free fall kind of spin.
I don't know. I've heard all kinds of things about how you don't know that you're upside down or anything.
No, but he doesn't because he's flying. But do the passengers?
I don't know.
Passengers?
I don't know.
You know.
There's no way I'm getting in a plane where a guy's been flying for a while, but I don't care if you're JFK, junior, senior, whatever. The temptation's open for the Beach Boys. Not that many people left early. Shuttle Line After was very long. Both good shows. That guy who said,
it was Taxi
Driver Bob. He was driving by there and said that people were leaving early. But I don't know if he wasn't at the show, why would he know that it had a lack of energy?
Yeah, I don't
like
know. He said it was lethargic.
Yeah, he wasn't even there. Don't project yourself, Bob,
well,
on
maybe
this.
He could hear. Maybe at a certain point outside, you can still hear the music. You know what I mean? If you're driving by.
Okay. I don't know if you can tell from that either. Coincidentally, the next issue of George Magazine was going to expose Kennedy assassination cover-up.
Oops.
Plot thickens. He was flying a supercharged Piper for the first time.
I knew it was a Piper.
It says wearing a cast on his leg, but no, he had just gotten the cast off. And the people that know these planes say you need to have some mobility with your feet because there are pedals to operate.
Well, I mean, that was just, I remember the coverage on that?
Wow.
Oh.
They drained the Atlantic Ocean to find him.
Jeez.
And they said they'd do that if we dropped off our Sea-Doo.
Yeah.
There's a documentary on Netflix about the JFK Jr. plane crash being a conspiracy. What I remember is a friend of mine called that day and said, did you hear that JFK's plane is missing? And as soon as I heard that, I thought, And then that piece of luggage washed up on the beach.
With
and you know at that point,
they're gone.
It's curtains.
Yeah. And wasn't it one of the girls, one of the women's luggage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this guy had everything going.
I mean, not even everything. Everything.
Not even everything. What's beyond everything?
Whatever is beyond everything.
He had it.
He had it. I mean, let's be honest. He had, I mean, you know, the irony is, think about it. I bet you there would be no Barack Obama.
That's what it said in this article.
Really? I believe that.
Oh, so a woman that was his secretary said the guy would have been president.
Yep.
And there would be no Barack Obama, but I don't know how you could line all that up. Was he presidential material?
Well, here's the thing. He gave at the, what was it? No, so what, 95 you said? Was when
99.
He died? Oh, 99 he died.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then what was it? The which convention? At the last convention before he died, he gave that speech, the same kind that Obama gave, that sort of coming out speech at the convention.
Coming out of?
Coming out to here I am. I'm kind of a viable force here.
I don't know, flaming heterosexual.
To be reckoned with on the political scene. So, and don't forget, Teddy was still alive. So
I don't know. It seems like a stretch. We say that now.
No,
but
I think he would have gotten tired of the magazine because the magazine was
magazine.
Not,
I mean,
well, that's I mean, it was
magazine on politics.
Yeah, it wasn't popular.
What was he thinking?
And I think he was getting
everybody's got a powdered wig on the cover.
Yeah,
come
on. He was getting poised. I think
Johnny
to get into it, and I guarantee you that he would have run for president sometime in the 2000s.
Taxi driver Bob wants back in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just clarifying. I was working last night getting fares outside of the park, but if you are familiar with the park like I am, you can hear the music from, especially if you're at the east entrance off of Sheridan Road by the East Connoisseurs or whatever the name of that, whatever you call them. But the east gate over there, you're relatively like right in the mix by the entrance of that gate, and you could hear the music.
Okay, what did you hear, Bob? Wish they all could be California.
And we'll
girls,
have fun.
It had that feel to it, like it just was.
Okay, Bob.
Like, bring out the, or take the walkers back in and, you know, time to pack up.
That
the
person
equipment.
That texted me was there. They said it was fine.
Okay.
Help me, Rhonda.
I mean, I like having the old energy from the 60s, but you're not going to have that, being that it's 2000.
I think you go with the attitude, it's a beautiful summer night, the beach balls are bouncing all over the crowd, and you're just...
I beg your pardon? They are 75.
That's backstage. I'm sorry. And you're just thinking, I want to lock this night down, so in the middle of January I can go, the night at Ravinia with the Temptations and the Beach Boys. What's so bad about that?
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, it's the whole thing. You know, we're drinking wine and having some good food out there and watching the concert and stuff. I'm just saying that comparative, their energy level was kind of down. Me, personally, I like the high-energy Beach Boys rather than the way they were playing.
Well, they were 20 years old, though.
Don't they have...
I know, exactly.
Don't they have to keep the decibels down at Ravinia? Because of the neighborhood?
No, not really.
I'll tell you this. I saw a Cheap Trick there, and I thought it could have been louder, and I think they have to stay within a certain decibel level. Because I was ready, like you said, crank it, and they didn't get above 9. They didn't go to 11.
Well, they're not going to go Deep Purple on Highland Park. I mean, you know, they're not going to be having those speakers set to the highest setting you can where you come out of the concert practically deaf. But, I mean, you know, it's still pretty good.
All right, Bob.
All right, you have a good night.
I'll talk to you in an hour.
We'll talk to Bob.
About a half hour, the way he's checking in. That guy, Chi-Chi, who called, I got a text that says, Chi-Chi, get the yayo. Classic Scarface line. If you're remembering the Scarface lines. Help me, Rhonda, help. You come around this loop, John B., my grandfather and me.
I mean, how could you?
Round, get around. I don't get around much anymore.
Be true to your school like you would to your girl.
Okay. What is Bob expecting?
I mean, the guys are 80. I mean, what do you want? You're lucky that Mike Love's still alive.
Dick Kay was born in 1937. Carrie Snodgrass was born in 1945. So I don't think he's her father.
Oh.
Yeah, that's an eight-year-old having a baby.
This is not a good thing to do when you see a driver. That sounds like one of those movies. Having a young child.
Having a child at the age of eight is not right. Firing an Uzi at the age of nine.
So what, we're saying now that it's not?
Not right.
The same Carrie?
No, I didn't think it was, but they have the same last name, and that's where she was connected.
Oh, all right. But I do remember that name in like some 60s and 70s TV shows. Carrie Snodgrass. If you said she was
a pretty big movie actress in the 70s.
Yeah, I remember that name.
JFK Jr. made the speech, but it was not impressive, and many critics said that he was not much of a presidential candidate as far as that went.
And do you think that would have mattered?
No, maybe not.
Every woman in America would have voted for him.
It took him three times to pass his bar exam.
Doesn't matter. He was JFK Jr.
He was 38 when he died.
I know.
What? Jeez. What was this guy thinking? Have somebody here. How about you drive over? Somebody can drive you. Sit in the back. You got the sister with you. You
can
sit.
What do you mean drive? Get a private plane. Where's your private plane?
You can sit in the middle and fantasize. I don't know. Do whatever you got to do in the back seat.
Have the guy get a private plane. Have your shrimp. What are you doing?
And that's not code. I mean, just have a bag of shrimp.
I wouldn't even raise a finger if I had that kind of notoriety and that kind of access to everything.
Help me, Rhonda. Here's the text. Help me, Rhonda. I've fallen and I can't get up. Help, help me, Rhonda. I've fallen and I can't get up. I really missed not doing the show at Ravinia this year. And if they're listening, I wanted to. I appreciate you trying to get me out there, but just didn't happen. One of my favorite remotes of all time is going there.
That's really a
they
cool
really
place.
They treat you so well. It's the whole atmosphere.
It's just and they have the greatest garlic butter fries I've ever tasted.
Yeah, that too.
Oh my
okay,
God.
I have to say, in tandem with the way that they treat us and the way we get the broadcast done, afterwards they would take us to that restaurant.
Oh,
that is there.
The nice one. Yeah.
And buy us dinner and then go, hey, why don't you go down to the gift shop and pick something out for you and your family?
No kidding.
Who does that? They do that.
Grab a hoodie.
And I love that stuff they have.
No kidding. But my wife and I went, I think it was last summer. I don't know if it was the Cheap Trick when they did Abbey Road. Maybe it was last summer. But so we went and we just had a quick bite at the other restaurant, not the nicer, you know, white tablecloth thing.
Not the white-only restaurant.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much Ravinia.
Well, that's nice. No. After we have the beautiful celebration for JRW, I'm getting Midway Airport named after them JRW.
How cool would that look on your...
Jackie Robinson West.
On your baggage tag?
Better than Midway. Midway, what? I know that honors a battle in World War II, I believe.
Yeah, but you know, okay. That's 70 years ago.
Right, it's time to get something new.
What is Midway? MW or MDW?
MDW.
MDW, yeah.
So all you do is change the first two letters.
Right, JRW.
JRW. I'm flying into JRW.
But we have actually been tempted to go to Ravinia on a weekend when maybe there wasn't a show that we'd necessarily want to see. But I've been tempted to go there just to get those fries. They've had these garlic butter fries are so good.
The restaurant is open when there's no concert?
No. We would go to Ravinia while the concert, but we wouldn't stay. We would just go.
Just go to have dinner.
Just go to have dinner.
Right?
Well, because Nick was kind enough to send us.
Who's Nick?
He's the communications director there, who I've known for 30 years, and sent us a lawn pass for the year to go to any lawn show. So we wouldn't have to pay for a ticket. So it's like those fries were so good, they almost were worth going out there and leave.
Okay, avoid the traffic.
Get out there.
Here's how we're going to do this to avoid the traffic. We're not going to even stay for any of the show.
No. I'm like,
during the encore, not any of the show.
We were going to like take the train, which stops right there, and then you just get off the train, walk in, get a couple of orders of the garlic butter fries,
and then head out.
And then get back on the train and go home. Okay. They're that good.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music.
Rockin' and roll.
How were the Temptations? Were they good, Bob? You going to throw them under the bus, too?
Hey, they make you see sunshine on a cloudy day.
Boom, 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 boom.
But now that's not, David Ruffin's not alive anymore, so I don't think the original singer, you know.
They have to have at least one.
Well, I'm sure they do, but I don't think it's the original, but still. I'm sure they got somebody that sounds good enough.
They've been finding these singers, these bands that can replicate the former lead singer, Boston, Journey.
Yeah.
And it's working. And
Foreigner
Queen.
Does that too. Queen. Now has Adam Lambert. Foreigner does that because Lou Gramm can't really sing like that anymore.
And then robots will steal their jobs too. So you can't even be an impersonator.
No.
Some robot will step in and take
Sticks.
Over.
Sticks. They got a guy that sounds like Dennis DeYoung.
Right.
That's crazy. Crazy time.
Chicago. Has somebody sounded like Pete Cetera?
No, I got it.
Doesn't
saw,
sound like
No. Pete Cetera, as those other singers do, very unique voices, but they haven't found the guy that replicates Pete Cetera's voice.
They try, but
it's not Pete Cetera.
No.
Very unique sound.
Yeah.
Did he retire? Does he do anything?
He's done some solo stuff. He had some solo hits in the 80s. I don't know if he has been done anything recently. But I think it sounds like the Bad Blood. Those bands, some things really happen. Because some of these guys,
they're in a bus on a long road trip, and then it all ignites.
Man.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, that 74 tour, which I saw at the Milwaukee Brewers Park at that time.
Yeah.
I remember I was outside center field.
That was their big
reunion.
I
had
tour,
so much sunburn. I don't know why I had my shirt off, but my whole chest was blisters at the end of the show
because
I sat in the sun like an idiot.
Yeah, that tour they've just released a major reissue on that whole live album, like two or three disc thing. It's taken them 2 or 3 years to go through it.
Yeah, and they hated each other on that tour.
Oh yeah, they just
hated.
Did it for the money.
All right, Leslie.
Peter
Cetera,
by the way, now lives in Idaho. And routinely participates in sports, including basketball, mountain biking, soccer, ice hockey, and motorcycling.
Yeah, those guys made a fortune.
Oh.
So they don't have to do anything.
They made money when...
And when you could sell albums and get the money for it and everything, and sell a lot of albums. And we found out that Dick K. Knee Snodgrass is not Carrie's father because there was only 8 years separating them.
Oh, okay.
Oops.
In Chile, he could have been the father. They have a lot of those in Chile.
I knew it was a side.
This text, Shivel just locked up the next Ravini remote with that comment. How about we come have the butter fries and get out?
Well, no, I mean, there's sometimes there's an act that you don't want to see.
Okay,
so
why don't you wait for one you want to see? Have this fry thing and go see the act.
Well, we're looking, because most of the time we would have to be on a Saturday or Sunday to go because, the show gets done at 7. You can't really get out to Ravinia in time. And so we were just looking, and it wasn't like any shows were really kind of grabbing us. And I didn't want to wait till September or so. I mean, it was kind of a summer thing to get these butter fries.
I have them in my stomach right now. I'm going to Leslie.
Are you guys talking in funny language?
That's right.
So are we talking about the fact that Thursday's ZZ Top Jeff Beck concert at Ravinia has been canceled? ZZ Top's bassist Dusty Hill was injured aboard the band's tour bus. They've canceled all performances through mid-September. Two Chicago men have filed suit against a local taxi company after a driver tried to evict them from a cab for sharing a kiss. Matthew McCray and Stephen White say the Sun taxi driver wanted to leave them on the shoulder of an expressway after they shared a one-second kiss while en route from the airport.
Get out!
They were, I guess the driver called 311 and then was transferred to 911.
For reporting a kiss between the same gender.
I wish I had the quote right in front of me, but I think
your screen door is put up.
I think the quote is, they were making sex in the back of his cab.
They were making sex in my cab.
And a crew member from the TV show Cops was shot and killed while covering a robbery for the show. It appears the man was accidentally shot by police as they responded to a robbery at a Wendy's restaurant in Omaha, Nebraska. The robber, who was carrying a replica airsoft gun, was also shot and killed. If you're traveling on the expressways right now, Eden's outbound's doing just fine. Inbound's about 25 from Lake Cook Road. The eastbound Tri-State Eden Spur's all jammed up. The Kennedy's crazy jammed up thanks to an earlier crash at Cumberland. It's still an hour out to O'Hare. Outbound Ike's about 45 minutes to Mannheim, an hour to Route 53. Stevenson, 46 to 355. The Ryan, about 25 between downtown and 95th. Lakeshore Drive northbound's heavy in the Grant Park area. Southbound 53 and 355, really slow from I-90 to Army Trail, and then stacked up around I-88. Partly cloudy tonight, low 64. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, late storms, and a high of 80. Friday cloudy, periods of rain and thunderstorms, and a high of 84. I'm Leslie Keiling, WGN.FM.
Matt, what's on your mind?
So, Gary and EJ, to your point, I played the band for 11 years, and we submitted three songs to the WKQX Hometown album, number two, under different names, and we won twice. It was pretty amazing. So we had some really good success. Played the Park Blast, played the Uptown Theater, but to this day, none of us talk to one another. We would be on the road, and there would be two guys in the front and three guys in the back, and the three guys would be talking about the two guys in the front, and the two guys would be talking about the three.
What was the main friction?
It's just everybody had their own idea. And the bass player came in. I'm the drummer. He hated me. He wanted a different drummer, so there was tension all the time between us two. And then there was all this political stuff. I mean, when I got into corporate America, it was just the same stuff all over again.
Oh, yeah. Well, are you doing Stonehenge tonight? Stonehenge, are we doing that tonight? I don't know why guys can't get along when they work together.
Just leave a long space there.
Fill it in.
Two, three.
We would get to the hotel, and the lead guitarist would always just jump on the bed and say, "I'm sleeping here."
Oh, here we go.
And it was every time. Yeah, it was every time.
Yeah, when it's so, like that, because you had how many guys in this band?
Five.
And you didn't have separate hotel rooms?
Oh, no.
Yeah. That could do it.
We lived the life.
I'll bet. Did you make any money doing this?
We didn't make any money, but it was one of the best things that ever happened. But still, the friendships are just splintered. It's over.
But in the case of these supergroups, you're making a fortune. You're not going to see each other every day like most of us have to go to an office and see the same people every day. So you do a tour for 3 to 6 months, bank it. And then you don't have to see each other for a year or two.
They don't have to stay on the same bus. They don't have to stay in the same hotel.
Right.
You can see each other when you walk on stage.
That's the part I couldn't get.
They're doing now.
Yeah. But
they get in their separate limos. They come out flying different on their private jets. They go on stage, they sing, and they leave.
Okay. I saw Simon and Garfunkel the last time they toured. Paul Simon did not look at Art Garfunkel until the last song of the show. He happened to turn around and gave a slight smile. And guys, I kept looking. As the first two or three songs, I go, Paul Simon is not looking at Art Garfunkel. And Art kept trying to get Paul's attention.
Shivel yelled, "Look at him! Look at him, you mother! Look at him for mother and child reunion, you mother!"
But look at Buddy Carlos. He just burned out from Cheap Trick.
Yeah. Well, I can understand when you're 35, 40 years, but again, if you can turn that faucet on with the cash coming out, you don't have to see each other after the tour for a while and just count the money and then try to regroup. And it's not like I said, the 9-to-5 that all of us have to do.
And they don't even have to do sound checks anymore. They know, you know what I mean? You could get... Right. They don't even have to see each other for a sound check. Literally, when you walk on the stage for 2.5 hours, then you walk off the other side.
Have you seen that Eagles documentary that's playing on cable?
The History of the Eagles.
The History of the Eagles.
Absolutely.
They have a lot of that in this where, what's his name? Glenn Fry almost got into it on stage with Felder. With Felder.
Yeah.
Because Felder didn't want to sing which song.
No, that was a whole different thing. That was Andy Meisner.
Oh, Meisner, yeah.
But on stage, he was yelling at Felder because they went to a benefit for Alan Cranston, and he said, and this was a benefit show, it was a senator at the time, you know, environmental kind of thing, and Felder didn't want to do the benefit because he didn't care about politics. And so Alan Cranston came by and said, "Thank you for performing," and Felder goes, "Whatever."
Yeah.
And so Fry was way into it, and he was so mad at Felder how he dissed Alan Cranston, that they were up on stage, and while they're playing songs, they're like, I am going to beat the hell out of you when we get done. Oh, yeah? I bet you won't. And they have all this on the soundboard.
Yeah.
And he runs off stage, and then Randy Meisner wouldn't do Ticket to the Limit.
Yeah,
so
right.
Apparently he did that night by not doing it because he was no longer in the band.
Yeah,
because people would go nuts when he hit that high note, and he didn't want to do it. His one moment there to show right. how great his voice is, didn't want to do it.
There it is. Hey. Good morning.
And then Felder got kicked out again when the reunion happened because Fry and Henley said, well, we'll get together, but just so you know, we're making more money than the rest of you.
Yeah.
Because it's our band.
And Joe Walsh and Timothy B. Schmidt went along with that because Fry and Henley wrote most of the hits, right?
And regardless, you know what? 5% of $800 million is still a good price tag to come
home with.
That's
why Walsh and Schmidt went, yeah, that's fine.
Fine.
We're still good. We're in the band, making money.
And now Felder's...
Back in the 80s, you played in one band. You never played in another band. Drummers now play in all these different bands. Bass players, they're playing multiple bands. It never was that way. It was like you were on a team.
It's like athletics, where you had some loyalty to that team or city, and now everybody just goes where they feel they can make the most dough, and doesn't matter. There's no loyalty.
A bunch of hooers.
Bunch of hooers.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
All right.